All right. How many of you once in a while you see a great TV show? Some of them are done really badly. Some of them are done really well. One of my favorites, and I get a little emotional when I talk about this one because it's always a very exciting show. It's kind of fun, and it's not Hogan's Heroes. It's not Bob Black Sheep. How many of you have ever watched the movie, the program Undercover Boss? Isn't that a great program? I just love that program. I tried to do that in my office, but she knew right away who it was. But the TV show Undercover Boss, these high-level executives disguise themselves to work alongside their employees in order to understand their challenges. They get these elaborate disguises on, and they go in like they had one where the I can't remember which Chipotle maybe, one of these big food chains. They've done those. They've done a bunch of them, and in every single one of them, the people get away with it. The chief executive comes in there. He does work everything from working at a counter in one of the fast food chains to being a janitor. There was one guy who worked in a warehouse, and they take two or three positions in the company in the course of the show for that particular company so that they can see the whole process of their company. It's actually a very important way to learn about how your organization is doing. So I want to relate that to the incarnation. Because God the Creator comes to earth in the form of a common man to intimately relate and meet the deepest need of the human heart. And you find in the course of the Undercover Boss show, as many of you have seen it, at the end of the episode, the undercover boss reveals who he is. And the people that he worked with get called in to their headquarters or to the HR department thinking they're either going to get a raise or they're going to get fired, right? And they come in, and there this executive is sitting across from them, and he says to them, "Do you recognize me?" And they say, "No." And then he says, "I'm, you know, whoever he was disguised as with a fake name, you know, Joe Green." And they say, they look at him and say, "Oh!" And then they get horrified. And then you see their mind racing like, "Oh, God, what did I do in front of him?" You know? And it's amazing because don't we do that with God? You know? And so this boss will often interact with these employees while they're on their jobs. And while they're there, he'll find out about their family life. He'll find out about their struggles. He finds out some of them want to get an education. Some of them would like to move up in the organization, but they can't because they got, you know, different obstacles. And the boss remembers all that. And when he finally sits down at the end, many times he gives them raises. Sometimes he helps them with college. In some cases, he's helped with their family problems. It's really a beautiful. I've oftentimes, you know, you watch the show. Okay, be honest. How many at the end you get a little teary-eyed at the end of the program? It's amazing because you see something about that is wildly human. Something about that is so touching that an individual who really doesn't need to enters into the deep life of a common person and meets a very important need. Sound familiar? John 1:14 says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." How many are glad that happened? That's what I'm celebrating. I'm celebrating that the boss came undercover. And then he revealed himself to me some 2,000 years later and began to meet some of the deepest needs of my heart. I know the major difference in an undercover boss. The boss don't know the real needs of these folks, but God does, right? Yeah, God is not surprised. God is not surprised by your deep needs. God is not shocked by your sin. God is not shocked by the void that you feel at times. God is not surprised by any of that. And so That's the major difference. Now, I want you to read a couple of verses with me this morning. Isaiah 7, verse 14. Isaiah 7:14 says, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you'll call his name Emmanuel. And you remember what that name means? God with us, right? Matthew chapter 1. Verse 18 to 25. The birth of Jesus was as follows, and his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit, and Joseph, her husband, being a just man, was not wanting to make her public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things and struggled with them, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins. Jesus, very common name, actually, Yahshua, or Joshua in Hebrew. And, you know that Joshua meant to save, or the salvation of God. So Jesus was and is the one who saves us from our sins. What does it mean to be saved from your sins? Well, number one, saved from the penalty of your sins. Number two, saved from the power that sin has over you. That's progressive and takes time. And then eventually, when we see him face to face, saved from the presence of our sins, right? So the penalty and the power and the presence of our sin. That's a pretty thorough salvation. When I say I'm saved, you tell someone you're saved, you tell them from what? What are you saved from? You ever ask someone, are you saved? Well, yeah, saved from what? Well, the penalty of my sins, primarily. And then, over time, the power of sin. And eventually, the presence of sin. That good news? Sin's a nasty thing. And it doesn't really matter what it is. It's all dark. But he saves from all that. I want you to just think about the becoming part where he became man. In Philippians 2:8, this is referred to by the smart people as the hypostatic union. This means that incredible union between God and man that's found in the very core nature of Jesus Christ. In Philippians 2, verse 8, where it says, being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. The humility, the absolute humility of this. And then he surrendered himself to the hands of the created ones and was crucified under their cruel jurisdiction willingly. He wasn't a martyr, right? It didn't surprise him. He wasn't a martyr. He wasn't murdered. He gave himself to be killed by them. He came as a man because he had to pay that penalty as a man. He couldn't write a check from heaven. He had to come himself and bear that sin on his body personally and intimately. His life among us, just like the undercover boss, experiencing those struggles. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, it says, we do not have a high priest who's not touched and is unable to relate to our weaknesses. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he made him the sin offering who knew no sin. Hebrews 4:15, tempted in every way we were, but without sin. He understood the human experience. He had the full range of human emotion and struggle. He laughed. He sang. He wept. He cried out. He was loved. He was hated. He was praised. He was slandered. He had friends. He was betrayed. He was hungry. He was thirsty. He was tired. And he felt pain. The full range of the human experience. He became sin. The likeness of a man in every way. Yet without sin. Tempted without sin. The only one ever. He experienced all of the human condition. Without sinning, he experienced the consequences of the deepest, darkest wickedness. And that's important. But not only did he experience everything you've experienced, but he experienced the consequences of the deepest, darkest wickedness of humankind. The penalty of the cross and everything there at that cross. The loneliness, the agony, the shame, the guilt, the pain, Jesus Christ experienced every iota of it. Do you understand this? It's amazing to me that he would let that happen. And that's awfully important. At one point, he reveals his true identity like the undercover boss. Matthew 16, 15, and 7. Who do people say that I am? And Peter gets it right. Christ, the Son of God. You know, sometimes Jesus revealed himself subtly and sometimes not so subtly. You know, to the woman at the well, hey, the water that I have to offer you, you'll never thirst again. And then he reveals himself. To Nicodemus, he met him at night. Nicodemus had kind of figured it out. No one could do what you're doing unless they came from God. To the Pharisees, he came right out and said it, and they didn't believe him. Before Abraham was, I am. And they picked up stones to kill him. You know what's amazing? In the undercover boss, when they reveal who they really are to these people, that moment is transformative for the person that gets that, sees that revelation. When they see, oh no, or oh yes, it's him, that moment is transforming. And when Christ revealed himself to me, it was transforming. When he revealed himself to you, wasn't it transforming? I could tell you, I grew up in a church, but Jesus never showed himself to me, really. I never heard the gospel. I never really understood it. But when that happened, I was stunned. Weren't you? How many of you were stunned by what Jesus did for you? I mean, shocked and surprised. Raise your hand. Now, if you're not raising your hand, I'm just assuming you don't like to raise your hand. Maybe you didn't wear any deodorant today. But what if the case is this? What if you weren't really shocked? You will be. I'm not saying you're not a believer. I'm just saying it should shock you that he did that for you. I mean, think about it. The creator of the universe, the creator of everything, perfect holiness, perfect everything, comes out, makes sure that you personally hear the gospel and get an opportunity to know him. And then he takes all your sin, the penalty, the power, and the presence of your sin and experiences the deepest, darkest consequences of it and in his mind, in his body, the torment, the emotional and mental and spiritual torment of sin, Jesus Christ knew intimately on the cross. He became sin who knew no sin. That ought to shock you. It still shocks me. You know what worship is? The expression of shock. Wow. I can't believe it. I'm glad. I mean, I do believe it. But it's surprising. People who really don't worship God are not that surprised. Nah, I knew he would do it for me. I'm special. But people who really get it, people who really understand forgiveness, they worship like crazy. Fall at his feet, fall at his knees. We talked about these magi come all the way 800 to 1,000 miles over a 3-month period looking for him. They finally found him. They bring him gifts, the sacrifices. They fall on their knees and worship him. And they're Gentiles. The Jews right around them didn't even do that. A couple shepherds. Some shepherds. Eventually, over time, some more did. Boy, these guys were waiting for him. They knew the word. They were waiting for him. And they worshiped him. Anticipation is part of worship, isn't it? I'm anticipating God is going to do something in my life today. I've had a rough few days, but I'm anticipating that God is going to do something amazing. You know why? Because he's amazing. Sometimes, you know, I have physical pain. I say, well, what's the matter? This is mercy. How is it mercy? I don't know why. Is it mercy that your leg hurts? Is it mercy that you got back pain or migraine headaches? Yeah, it's mercy. Well, how is that mercy? That doesn't feel like mercy. You know why it's mercy? You know why you know it's mercy? Because God's merciful. Somehow it's mercy. My ninja son slides off a roof and breaks his wrist. Was that mercy? Yeah. Yeah. Boom. Breaks his wrist. Fell right in the asphalt. I think he was pushed. I know his coworker, and I know how it is to work with Paul. I can see why. The surprise of who the boss really is transformative. But the relationship becomes so deep at that point with that boss. If you haven't watched The Undercover Boss, maybe you're having a hard time following this message. But at the end, when a boss reveals himself to them and does something for them, you see the person weeping and they hug the boss and the whole relationship changes. And when you finally understand what Jesus Christ did for you and the depth of what he did for you and the breadth of what he did for you, your relationship will change with him. Jesus said of one woman, she loves much because she's been forgiven much. Right? Luke chapter 4. When he was a younger guy, in verse 16, he came to Nazareth where he'd been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he'd opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to recover the sight of the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." You know, I've been doing my vision board. I had to take something off it because God did it. I think I put something else on there now. So I've been working on the vision board last week, and I read this passage Friday night, And I thought, Jesus had a mission statement. And this was what it is. To preach to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to liberate captives, to bring sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. What an amazing vision that is, an amazing mission statement. Then he says in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, come unto me, all ye that labor or are heavy laden. What's the difference between laboring and being heavy laden? Okay, what else? Is there another answer to that? I may labor under my own issues, and I may be heavy laden, something put on me from somewhere else. It doesn't matter if I bring it on myself or if somebody brings it on me. I still am invited to come to Christ. Nothing prevents anybody, no matter where they've been or what they've done, to come to Christ and to find His power there and His freedom there. Is deliverance there? Oftentimes a process, and it should be. But whether the burden is one you've created or one that's been cast on you, the solution is always the same. Make sure you come to Him. Make sure you come to Him when the burden grows greater. Right? Jesus Christ made the ultimate sacrifice. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. There's only one of them. So I'm going to, with that, I'm going to pray and we'll close out this little portion. So, Father, we want to thank You for our undercover boss. You came under cover of humankind, and that You came with a purpose, with a mission to bless us, to help us, to minister to us. And we ask You, Lord, to be with each person here today as we find Your mercy and grace through things, and as we understand Your love and grace. Thank You so much for this morning. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.